This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Now I've forgotten what the hell we're talking about.
When the sparkling script turns out to be a dud.
Be a dud. Yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hi there, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We are...
are we running behind, David?
What? We're running behind.
speedy.
Hey, I'm the pace master here.
Have you had enough coffee today?
I think I have. Yes, I still got more here on my cup. Okay, yeah. We're
getting a little punchy.
We've spent the morning on the previous episode talking about festival, but we're done with festival. Okay, no more festival. We want to talk about something new. This is a topic that comes up, I would imagine, more often than we would like. What is the topic,
Marcia? The topic is, drum roll, please. What happens when a sparkling script turns out to be a dud? Boom.
There you go.
It happens. You know,
can you do? It's like you're in midstream on a rambunctious horse.
I have been
horse,
there as a director where you look at something and you go, oh,
what
my
happened to
God.
It? Where did this come from?
We read scripts all the time.
Right.
And sometimes you read a script and you go, that show would be terrible. And then, but something about it catches you or you think maybe your audience would like it. You put it on the stage and suddenly the script that you thought was going to be terrible.
It's hysterical. Yep.
Because you start putting all the little nuances into it, like all that stuff that's in italics. All of a sudden, it comes to life, and it brings a crappy read script into this amazing script. But sometimes you read these scripts, and you think this is the funniest thing I've ever read in my life, and all of a sudden, it's just a complete piece of
just
crap.
A dud.
That's right.
A dud. Yeah.
I didn't say that.
It's funny to read, but it's unactable for some reason.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's your performers, but it can be.
I don't think.
Go ahead.
All the time is not your performers.
Not all the time. No.
You know, but what happens with a script like that? I mean, why can you read it? I've read some scripts when I just laughed out loud from beginning to end. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to be one of the best things we've ever done.
Uh-huh.
And you put it on, and you have fairly competent actors, and you have a good director, and everything is there. It just doesn't work,
right?
And you usually find out
the audience is sitting there going, "Hmm."
And you find how do you try to avoid having the audience go, "Hmm?"
I would like to know,
what do you do?
How can you avoid that?
What kind of options do you have when you get you're halfway through the rehearsal process and you realize that this script that you thought was great is not going anywhere?
Well,
can you back off? I don't mean not do it, but I remember somebody told me once, if you have a line that you think should be a laugh line, okay, and you deliver it and you don't get the reaction that you want, back off of it. Don't push it. Don't try and do more because it'll just make it worse.
Right.
How do you know when to back off with a script that seems to be wallowing in nothingness?
You know what? I wonder if you bring people in who have never seen it and watch reactions, if that helps sometimes.
To have
during rehearsal.
A fresh set of eyes
look at it, because that is very often, I think, kind of helpful. Because sometimes, you know, if it is the script, you may be able to make some changes based on, you know, either pacing, which is kind of my fallback position.
And you're not saying making changes to the script. You're saying
no.
To the way you're producing it.
Improve the pacing, change the delivery. You know, there may be things like that. And the fact is that if you're doing the show, if you're rehearsing it, you may be wrong, too. You know, as a director, you may think, this isn't very funny. Get somebody in to look at it that has never seen it, and they may get more out of it than you think they're going to get out of it. I don't know. You know, I mean, the director's job is to be an audience as well as a director. So you shouldn't have that problem, but sometimes it's just one of those things you don't connect with.
Mm-hmm. I have my hand raised.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I didn't want to jump in.
Was I doing? I was going too fast again, wasn't I?
Well, you're speeding along there.
Maybe that's what you do. Just go fast. Just speak so fast that nobody knows what you've said. Okay.
I just wonder.
Take my wife, please.
No. I just wonder. This is something that I've heard that was done by people that were rehearsing a new play. Mm-hmm. Although you can do it with old plays also. You get to a section that for some reason or other, it doesn't work and it's not what you thought it was. Take the basic idea of it, pull it out, and let your people improv it and see if they can come up with something new that may put a little life into something that is kind of pooping out there.
Right.
Well, that's a great idea. I've heard of using improvisation when things are – when a scene isn't going well or something like that to just let the actors kind of go.
Yeah.
They don't even have to be – as long as they stay maybe close to the storyline, they don't even have to be on script.
It's sort of like that phenomenon when you have – when your actors decide to have a hell night even though you really don't want to. And suddenly you realize they're right.
That was funny.
Dear.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have hell nights in performance. But in rehearsal, you know, that brush up rehearsal that goes to pot, you think, why weren't we doing this all along?
I did a show once with a kind of a not a very great script, and I asked, I think it might have been Frank Brush, who is the technical director, to come in and sit and add bits.
Frank was a great
because he's such a good bit adder. I mean, he really had a very, very good eye for how you could take a very not funny situation and suddenly just change it by adding a bit to it. In fact, I think he directed us in The Real Inspector Hound, which I like that script.
He did,
but
I love it.
He gave us free leeway at any point in the show to add a bit, and all we had to do was just tell him that what we were going to do and then incorporate it. And if he liked it, we kept it. If he didn't like it, we took it out.
Explain what you mean by a bit.
Well, like, for example, in that show my character wasn't on stage very often. And so to give myself these little bits and to add interest, we had a set of like a double doors in the center that were always open. And I took a glass of wine and I put it on my head and I walked very slowly past the door with a glass of wine on my head. And then I had something else and I turned back around and about 5 minutes later, I came back on walking across behind the door with something else on my head. So, and because the show is a little bit absurd,
it's the recurring,
he's just looking a bit nonplussed. Right.
Well, but you know, but because it's just like, what is, you know, and Frank said, let's go for it. And so I did it during the show.
Yep.
And you get these little weird laughs and giggles, and it kind of at least helps
loosens everything up.
You know.
Well, we do things with I got my chops with the Agatha. I'm sorry, I was talking too fast, and now I can't talk at all.
I see. Just,
with the Agatha Christie shows, because they're so talky,
right?
And we add. You're talking about your bits there. I remember one show where we had the butler sort of like hiding behind things all the time,
right?
And he'd pop his head. He'd be look through the window, and then you know, of course, the cliche in murder mysteries is the butler did it, and so you think of that, and then you know the door opens and he falls into the room because he's been listening at the keyhole,
right.
And there's other things like that. So you can add something to a character that's not in this, and that's not the only example, but something to a character that's not in a script that suddenly is, you know, makes it better.
Okay, I have a question now. Is there any guidelines that you can use or any little things that should set off warnings in your head when you are reading script after script after script in the hopes of setting up a good season? Can you kind of tell?
Well,
you know, maybe this is not going to be as good as it seems, or am I just sick of reading scripts?
I think always when you're reading a script and it seems really funny to you, go back and reread it maybe with the eye to, is the reason why this is funny is because I'm enjoying it as prose.
Okay.
Because it's reading more like a book, and because I enjoy reading comedic literature. And so I go back and I think, oh, the reason why this is funny is because they're talking about all the setups. We're not actually seeing it happen. It's being talked about, and in my brain I can make it. I'm seeing it as funny because it's I like to read, but in reality this would have been a whole lot funnier if they would have let that action not happen off in the bedroom in the side, but if they would have figured out how to get that action on stage.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we don't read it closely enough to say, oh, this is actually funny prose. This isn't funny theater. Does that?
Right. I get it. I get it. And that happens. Now, and I've had the opposite problem because I tend not to just laugh out loud reading a comedy. But I have, you know, sort of just been assigned here. You're directing this year. And I know two or three shows that I've gotten. And then you get them and you start working with it. And the actors show you where the funny stuff is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it works the other way, too, sometimes.
Wow.
For me, it
does. Some good actors.
Oh, I have had. That's true. Okay. That's true.
And, of course, sometimes you get a script that actually is funny, and that's probably for a different show, but you get a script that is very funny or very dramatic, and somehow you've cast the wrong cast. And that could be a different topic for another time,
and
where they just don't get
it.
I know,
and then what do you do?
What do you do?
How do you say, sorry,
yeah.
but
that,
just
I think
can't
that's
put
it. I think that maybe is a different topic.
Well,
so let's
that's
not talk about
topic.
It
topic.
We don't want to
okay.
waste that one.
How about just word density on the page can be a tip-off that it's not going to be funny.
I don't even think it may dramatic.
In other words, if it looks like it's all a lot of lengthy lines.
A lengthy?
Yeah, because that's what I mean by word density. When it's just, you know, like solid text, you know, I think that what it means is there's not a lot of back and forth between characters going on. I mean, you can kind of glance at it and say, whoa.
I mean, like the ending of all Agatha Christie mysteries when somebody explains everything and takes two pages of text.
That's right. That's when you bring out the whoopee cushions and the kazoos.
I guess you do.
But that
happens. That's the way it is.
That's right.
Agatha Christie.
I know.
Oh, my God.
And one of the things that we always talk about, though, is going to see theater. And maybe one of the easiest things to do to avoid putting a bad script on your season is see theater. See theater wherever you can see theater.
Right.
Even a bad production of something will give you the opportunity to see it live and moving around.
That may be a situation where there's a bad cast or a bad director,
yeah.
but the script is good. You might say, oh, that's a good script. It's just a crappy cast.
Right.
So, and so see lots of theater and then go to your play service, purchase the script, bring it back to your reading committee
right.
or to your artistic director if that's who selects your season. Every theater has a different – our theater works off of a reading committee, but some theaters who have larger staffs actually
right.
their artistic director is responsible for selecting the season.
I think all theaters work in a lot of different ways. Sometimes you'll have a director just comes to the theater with a script they want to do.
Exactly.
And not here, but –
get that script into the right hands, have it read, and say, I've seen this on stage. It's great. I get, as the artistic director for Elkhart Civic Theater, I get people recommending scripts all the time. I went to see this musical at Turkeyville up in Michigan, or whatever it's called up there.
Right.
And it was a great show, you know. And so I'll get the script and I'll bring it in and we'll read it. So.
When you have a script like this that is really not working very well, is more rehearsal better than less? Yeah, I mean, like, say we normally rehearse in about a five week or so rehearsal schedule. You know, if you give yourself another couple of weeks on something like that,
yeah, but how
you
do you know?
You don't know.
You don't
you're
know
right.
Until
you don't.
Get into the rehearsal process. So, I mean, I think what you do is you begin to think outside the box, like what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
You start doing the improvisational moments where you take an hour and just improvise a scene.
Right.
You start asking people to come in and watch the rehearsal and say, what can we do to get this more? It doesn't have to be funny. What can we do to make this the drama that it's supposed to be? Because right now it's coming off as Marx Brothers or you know whatever.
Dead weight. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and see how it can be spruced up.
A dud. Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just hope whatever you can manage to do is going to work enough to where your audience will enjoy it. I mean, that to me is the worst part when you think you really have a dud, and yet you got to go out and sell tickets, and you just think, oh, my God, I just don't want any of my friends to come and see this.
Well, that's one of the advantages to having a committee process like we do, too.
Yeah, that's true,
Is that, like, you know, you might like something, and I might say, I don't know, this looks like a dud, or the or vice versa. Well, you know what I mean. But, I mean, there can be several sets of eyes on a script, and you get somebody who understands technical real well, like we have somebody in our group, Sandy does, and people who have directed dramas as well as comedies, and have an idea of what's working and what's not working on a script. And it might be funny when you read it, if it's supposed to be a comedy, but it may not work. And there's different aspects of not working. So that's nice to have a number of eyes looking at it.
Well, let me tell you, as an example, there's a script that I read, and we've done the show a couple of times, and someone else is doing it this summer. And when I read it, I thought, oh, my God, how could anybody think that's funny? And it's hysterical when you see it. You know, it's just the nerd.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people sitting around with paper bags on their head, and it's like, okay, what's funny about that? But it is so, you know, let's face it.
And it reads dumb. It reads kind of dumb.
And I think the whole end result of this is it's a crapshoot. You know, you make your best guess, and you do as much as you can, and then you just sit back and hope it happens.
People go to the movies and say, why did they even make this? Because they thought it was good when they started.
They thought it was good.
Yeah.
And they're spending millions
of dollars, and they're real careful, you know, usually, you know. So anyway, well, I think that kind of wraps up this episode of Theater Geeks. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to stop by our website at theatergeeks.com and our Theater Geeks store at theatergeeks.com/store, where you can find hats, cups, mugs, all kinds of things like that. What else? John has some favorite things at the store.
Marcia's
not going to let me talk about it. I'm not going to say it.
I don't know why you would sell underwear.
She said it.
Why would you sell that?
Well, you know what?
Because
if you take underwear and you put them in one of those coffee mugs, they make a really great present.
There you go.
I don't think so. I'd rather have
some of them are sexy underwear, and one of them is some nice boxer shorts that you can just kind of wear around the house.
I'd rather take one of the little teddy bears and put it in the coffee mug.
Okay.
That's a good gift.
That's a good gift. That's right.
For the kid and parent.
And coffee tastes better, as well as teddy bears
taste better
when they're a Theater Geeks brand.
They definitely do.
So where can you catch us, Dave?
You can catch us at...
I'm getting off this topic.
You can catch us at iTunes. You can catch us on Stitcher On Demand Radio, which is coming to new cars everywhere. I believe TuneIn Radio may be in cars as well. We are also at the Blueberry Network. That's Blueberry with noease.com. We are also, where else are we? Well, iTunes and, your favorite podcatcher. You can catch us all over the internet, or you can just go to theatergeeks.com and listen to us right at the website. So please do that. But I'll tell you what, subscribing is more fun because you don't miss an episode that way.
And it doesn't cost you anything.
And it doesn't cost you anything anyway. And if you are a subscriber, please don't hesitate to give us a few stars at the iTunes store, as well as a friendly review if you are of a mind to do so.
And shoot us some ideas for upcoming episodes.
Absolutely.
Some ideas for upcoming episodes. You can send them to John, Dave, or Marcia at theatergeeks.com. We're also on Twitter at Theater Geeks. At Theater Geeks. We spell theater the right way, by the way, with an R-E. Mm-hmm. So check it out that way. That's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.